many of you were here last Wednesday night. I'm going to pick up on where I started. How many were not here? Well, I'll do a quick review, and then we'll pick up. Actually, I'm talking about having a firm foundation. You know, we're living in, if we know how to read the Bible, we're living in the last days. And I don't know whether you've noticed or not, but man, everything is shifting and changing and in every area of our lives, in the business world, the economical world, the medical world, religious world. Now, I'm old enough to remember when, and there may be a few others in here, that when events happen, it may be a couple of days before you would even hear about it. Anybody remember that? And now we get it minute by minute updates of everything that's going on around the world. And you find out things are changing and we have uncertain days. And of course, Jesus said here in Matthew 24:4, take heed that no one deceives you. I'm not going to read I read it last time, Matthew 24:4-7, and then in Luke 21:25-26. And then Paul warns us about winds of doctrine. Some people come teaching these doctrines that if you listen to them, they sound good, but they'll cause you to be unstable and very vulnerable to be taken advantage of. Ephesians 4:14, that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro and carried about in every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunning and craftiness of deceitful plotting. You know, it's during the days that we're living in right now that we need a firm, solid, immovable foundation for our lives. You know, I mentioned it last week, and I'll say it again. You know, we don't think about this, but do you know God's throne has a foundation? Psalms 89:14. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne. And then you can go and read the rest of it. Then the earth has a foundation. In Psalms 102:25, oh, of old you laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are works of your hands. Solomon's temple. In 2 Chronicles 3:3, this is the foundation which Solomon laid for the building of the house of God. The foundation of this building is very, very clear that it's a good foundation, because if you go across the street over there, that's student housing, and all those houses behind that, every one of them has foundational problems. We've had a lot of foundational problems with the student housing over here. But it's because they didn't have a proper built foundation. I talked to you last week about how that we had what the people in the town call Hagin's Mountain setting out over there, because we took out, this is a 350-foot square building, and we took out 3 feet of topsoil and had to bring in other soil, and we've got, I don't know how many hundred piers is under this building, but I know that one back there and one right over there and one right over there, so we have free standing here without any poles inside. I know the pier is 63 feet deep, and it's got rebar in it about that big around, wired together, and it's full of concrete. And you remember when 2010 was it that we had the big snowstorm, and it blew all the snow. We had 6 feet of snow on the roof back here, and we had one little purling that bent in, and they said it was, the engineer said, if this building wasn't built as strong as it was, the whole roof back there would have collapsed, and maybe part of the rest of it, but nothing happened. In fact, here not very long ago, we have little earthquakes around here. Anybody ever remember we do that? Well, they over in SDC 1, they felt the shaking, They came over here to the church office and they said, did y'all feel that? They said, no, we didn't feel nothing. This building didn't even move. You see, the firm foundation is what holds you. And that's what holds you in your Christian life, is a firm foundation. You know, your foundation will determine how permanent your house is. I worked 6 years as associate pastor for my father-in-law, and he back then we called it pioneered, now they call it launch, but he launched 3 churches, and the last one there, he stayed till he retired. But he was a builder, a contractor, and he would actually build houses and build the church physically while he was building it spiritually. And so the last church there, that church there in Garland where I was with him, he the last house he built, he couldn't sell. And he was praying the Lord, I said, the church can take care of you now. Are you going to build houses or are you going to pastor the church? He moved into that house and lived in it till he passed away. And he said later he was really glad that he always, when he built a house, he always went to the most solid shale that you could find. He said, I sure am glad I built this house good because I have to live in it. But you know, we need to realize that we have to build our Christian's life on an immovable foundation. Number one, you build your foundation on the unchanging Word of God. And let me move on this real quick. You know, I said this last week. He's not coming out with the revised version or a new translation. It's the same. From the beginning to the end, it will never change. You know, the Word of God is sufficient for all times, all generations, in every situation. We got to hold on to the major doctrinal messages of the Word of God. You know, Hebrews 6:1-2, therefore leaving the discussion of elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works of faith toward God. These foundational doctrines are emphasized throughout the Word of God. Now, you're going to find that a lot of people are going to come out, and some of you might can remember back in the 70s with Christian television, just about every week somebody was getting on there with a new revelation and new something. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Anybody remember that? And you know what? I don't hear anything of any of those so-called revelations that they were talking about. But I know my dad was on there. I was with him on many of the programs, and we talked about faith, and faith is still being talked about because it's a major foundational principle of the Word of God. You know, I think sometimes people are looking for shortcuts to the getting the blessings of God, and if somebody comes out with something that's that says, well, this is the greatest, you know, we need to do what? Listen at Paul in Ephesians 4:14, that we will no longer be immature children and won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of doctrine, every wind of new teaching. We will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies so clever that they sound like the truth. So we got to build on that foundation. You know, Paul talked about the time will come when people will not endure sound doctrine. And you know, the devil will send all kinds of things at you. And if your foundation is not strong in the Word of God, you will find yourself entertaining those thoughts. You can't entertain thoughts that are contrary to the foundational truths and the doctrines of the Word of God without getting in confusion. Paul even said, if I come teaching something besides what I've already taught, count it a curse. In other words, if we were talking in today's language, he would say, forget about it. Don't let it bother you. That's what he would say. Now, let's go and pick up here and start. That's just a quick found. That's real quick what I did last week. Number two, we build our foundation on Christ's redemptive work. God said that Christ is the cornerstone of our foundation. Isaiah 28:16. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion a stone for a foundation, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. Whoever believes will not act hastily. Now that's talking about Christ. You know, Isaiah wrote more about the coming, about the Messiah, than any of the other prophets in the Old Testament. In fact, a large portion of his writings deal with, and actually they're dealing with Israel, and at the same time, he's bringing in the truths of the Messiah at the same time. And sometimes as you're reading, it's Israel, and then it will change, and he's talking about the Messiah. Come on now. Hey, I've studied Isaiah. I went to Bible school too, you know. I got a degree. Now let's look at, I want to read this Isaiah 28:16 in the NLT. I just read it in New King James. Therefore, this is what the Sovereign Lord says. Look, I'm placing a foundation stone in Jerusalem, a firm and tested stone. It is a precious cornerstone, and it's safe to build on. Whoever believes need never be shaken. You know, 1 Corinthians 3:11 says, for no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. There's Isaiah, here's Paul in Corinthians. In other words, when we believe what the Word of God says about Christ, because Christ and his redemptive work at Calvary is the foundation of all Christianity. Everything in the Word of God centers around Christ and what he did for us on the cross. All the promises of God are made available to us because of what he did in his redemptive work of going to the cross, dying, and being raised again. 2 Corinthians 1:20 says, for all the promises of God in him are yes, and in him amen, to the glory of God through us. You know, because we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and accept him as our Savior, we become eligible then to receive all the blessings and the promises that God says here. And that's why he says, for all the promises of God are yes, and in him, amen, or in him, so be it. That's the way it is. You know, having the foundation of a Christ-centered life is very important. You can read 1 Corinthians 15, we're not going to go there, but you can go read there. The Apostle Paul really understood this, and that everything in the Christian life depends on the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That the Word of God and the redemptive work that Christ did on Calvary are our foundational piers that hold us in the time of trouble. They hold us in the time of turmoil, but they also hold us when nothing is happening. The foundation is still there. Now, without the resurrection of Christ, without his death on the cross, Christianity would not be possible as we know it. our faith would be in vain. As I said a moment ago, our eligibility to receive the promises of God depends upon the foundation that Christ set at Calvary. You know, I might say it this way, our eternal existence depends upon the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. I'm going to say that again. I don't think you got it. Our eternal existence depends upon this. That is a foundational truth that we have to get a hold of, and nobody can take it away from us. You know, we used to sing a song, and I liked it tonight, Anthony, when you went back and got an old hymn and we sang it. I love that. But on Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. You know, when we begin to understand that, I don't care what this one comes preaching, I don't care what this one comes saying, I don't care who said this or that, if it is contrary to the foundational truths, doctrinal truths of the Word of God, you need to forget about it. Somebody said, well, where'd you get that? I got that from a man that I'm named after, Kenneth E. Hagin. I've heard him say it many, many times. You can't run off with, oh, man, the fire's falling over here, and it's happening over here, and it's happening over there. He said, you've got to get a foundation and stand strong where you at. Don't go chasing. And he said, there are too many, and I heard him say it just not many days before he went to glory. I heard him say, too many of the charismatic faith-believing Christians are chasing the spectacular and missing the supernatural. And some of y'all are shaking your head because y'all heard him say that. But you see, if you do not have the proper foundation in the Word of God and in Christ and the redemptive realities of Christ, you will go chasing about, oh man, it's happening over here. Oh man, it's happening over here. You will go chasing after that. Hey, I was in Bible school. September 1958, I started Bible school. And I think it was probably the next year, maybe. Southwestern is in Waxahachie, Texas, which is 20 at that time was 22 miles south of Dallas. Now it's all grown together. But and so one day we're sitting, and a bunch of us are sitting up in the living area there of boys' dorm, and they're talking, and this one old boy come running in there and said, hey guys, come on, let's go up to Dallas. Said, there's a guy up there, he's got a tent up. And he said, man, blood is appearing. Excuse me. Blood is appearing in a cross on this lady's forehead. Oh, we need to go up there and see it. And I said, what difference does it make? I said, and number one, there's not anything in the Bible about it. Oh, it's a move of the Spirit that we don't know anything about. I said, well, y'all can go if you want to. I'm not going. Bunch of them went up there. Oh, they all come back. Oh, they were all up in the air about it. You know what? 6 weeks later, they found out that it was all a hoax. Hello? And we've had some crazy things happening in the charismatic faith camp. You know, supposed to be gold dust falling and all of that. I never seen any of that in the Word of God. Hello. Man, don't shout me down because I'm preaching real good. But it's about time, and I'm old enough, 85, I can say what I want to. If you don't like it, that's your problem, not mine. I had a guy tell me he didn't like my preaching one time. I told him, that's your problem, not mine. Turned around and walked off. Sometimes people try to intimidate me. You don't intimidate me. Because I'm solid in who I am in Christ. I don't care what your revelation is. I've had so many letters and and stuff. And then when I was working with Dad, traveling on the road with him, Lynette might remember this. We were in Van Nuys, California, I think. And this guy, he was bugging Raymond Singers and Band was with us, and he was bugging all of them. I got to see Brother Hagin with this revelation. It's going to revolutionize them. He doesn't know anything about it, but the Lord told me to tell him about it so he can start preaching it. And finally, I told him, I said, hey, just tell him, write it all down, give it to me, and I'll make sure Dad gets it. Well, I never took it to Dad. I started reading it. Oh, the Lord said, if you will look for, and you pray until you see a golden light coming down, that means that you're going to receive financial blessing. And if you pray until you see a green light coming down, that means you're going to get healing. And it went on. It was wild, wasn't it? It was wild. You know, that was his great revelation. No, I think it was the devil's revelation myself, because it had nothing to do with the Bible. Come on. You see, we need to realize that our foundation has to be solid. Nothing moves us. I learned this growing up in the man's house that I grew up in, because they talked against him. Even fellow ministers talked against him for laying hands on people to receive the Holy Ghost. And then about in his faith message. But you know what? It never fazed him in the least, because he said, son, it's the Word of God, and if it's in the Word of God, then it's a solid foundation you can build on it. Hello. Now, I got about 14 minutes left. We've got to build our foundation on being hearers and doers. Jesus talked about having the proper foundation, Luke 6:47-49. Whoever comes to me and hears my saying and does them, I will show you whom he is like. He's like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And when the flood arose and the streams beat vehemently against the house, they could not shake it, for it was founded on the rock. But he who heard and did nothing is like a man who built a house on the earth without a foundation, against which the streams beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of the house was great. Now somebody said, well, that's about a house falling. No, it's talking about a foundation. The whole premise of that is talking about a foundation. And the foundation, if you go back and get a hold of the foundation, whoever comes to me and hears my sayings and hears my word and does them, I will show you whom he is like. And he said here, that's like a person that has built on the foundation on the rock, Jesus Christ. Come on now. And you can read basically the same thing from James. In James 1, he talks about be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself and goes away and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. Jesus said that we deceive ourselves when we're reading the word and we know the word, but we're not doing the word. We're deceiving our own self, thinking that it's going to work for us. The word works for you when you are a doer of the word. Have you ever noticed the word of God has a lot to do with you receiving, has a lot to do with what you're doing? our scripture that we all go on in Rhema, Mark 11:23. If you say unto the mountain, and you believe in your heart, you'll have what you say. I want you to notice Jesus is putting it back on you. See, excuse me. In other words, we think we're standing in faith during, you know, and we're in the middle of a trial and nothing's not happening. Well, my dad used to say, if you are praying about something and it don't seem to be happening, go check up on yourself. He said, the problem is not with God and the power of God, the sending in. He said, the problem's on the receiving end. That's why it's so important to have a good foundation. You know, it's one thing to read the word, but it's another thing to do the word. You know, it's one thing to, thank you. It's one thing to read a tutorial about how to operate a computer, but it's another thing to do it. And it's something else for somebody to tell you. You know, I was trying to send something from home off my computer and attach it and send it to some people here at the ministry. So I call my assistant, Kim McKinnon, there. And she is telling me, do this and do that. And it wasn't working. What she was telling me was right, but I somehow it wasn't computing. So she said, well, go to FaceTime. So I went to FaceTime, and I turned around, and I showed her my computer. She said, oh, here, you go there, go here, go there. You know what? I did it. But you see, it was one thing for her to tell me, see that little paper clip? Go up there, do this, do that. Well, I'm hitting the paper clip and something's not working right and so forth and so on. But when I did it the other way, it worked perfect. It worked for me. I hope I can remember how to do it if I have to do it again. But this time, if I call, I'm gonna be FaceTime to start off with. That way we'll save some time. But you see what I'm saying? Hey, when I'm teaching in my classes at the school, especially in the ministerial classes, I'm talking about, it's one thing for me to stand up here and tell you about pastoring or tell you about the traveling ministry. But it's another thing for you to go out there and do it. Hello? That's the way, and sometimes that's the way it is on your job. They tell you, okay, you read the manuals, they tell you all about it. Then they say, okay, and they leave you there with it. That's another whole thing. When I was taking flying lessons, you know, we had been flying around. I had several hours. And we landed. We were doing touch-and-go landings, and he told me to stop. So I stopped, and he got out. He said, okay, take it around. Well, wasn't no problem. I just, you know, gave the throttle, took it up, and did my base leg and come back around. I turned final, and I'm coming down toward that runway, and all of a sudden, it hit me in my brain. He ain't over there. It's all on me. But I landed it with no problem, praise the Lord. But what I'm trying to get a hold of you, across to you, is that when we have this type of foundation in the Word of God, in the redemptive work of Jesus Christ, then we will be able to stand firm in the face of every kind of situation that's coming our direction. You know, sometimes, I don't know how many of you heard this, but that's where the rubber meets the road. Anybody ever heard that statement? Well, that, you know, when we're up against it, that's when we find out whether we have a good, solid foundation in Christ. It's when we're in the difficult situations. Let me tell you what, we're all going to face them. It said there in John 16:33, Jesus said, in this world you will have trials, stress, tribulation. I'm going to paraphrase it, but there it is. These things I've spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. You see, when our foundation is in the Word of God and in the redemptive works of Jesus Christ, and we're not just being a hearer of the Word, but being a doer of the Word, we will find out that we will come out on the other side. Remember, the three Hebrew children had to go in the fire furnace, but they came out. Daniel went in the lion's den, but he came out. Jesus went in the grave, but he came out. You know, you'll only be as strong as your foundation is in your Christian life. So I encourage you, get a firm foundation. You know, a story. One time a man stopped by a guy's house on a rainy day, and there it was leaking like everything. You know, we say leaking like a sieve, you know. And he asked the man, hey, did your roof just start leaking? No, it's been leaking for some time. Well, the visitor said, well, why didn't you fix it when the sun was shining? The man answered, it wasn't leaking then. Some people are like that. They wait until trouble comes to try to get a foundation in the things of God and get victory, and it's too late. You can't wait till the problem's there. You've got to get the foundation before the problem arises. You can't wait until trouble comes to build a foundation. You got to build a foundation when everything's going good. When I was growing up, my dad's house, I was, you know, 10, 11, 12, 13 years old. Then in his teenage years, we'd come up against something. I'd say, Dad, what are we going to do? We're just going to act like the Bible says, son, and stand on God's word. You know what? I never seen it fail one time. You know, in these last days, you're going to see some things that will exist for a short time, and then they'll be gone. You'll see things change rapidly, and then change again, and change again. These things are not sufficient to build a strong foundation. So it's important that you keep building your foundation on the Word of God. You know, if you want to see the goodness of God manifested in your life, you have to have a strong foundation. You have to know how to believe God, how to say, like the Hebrew children said, I believe God will deliver me, but if he doesn't, I'm still going to trust him. That's what the three Hebrew children said. Now here we got to look at that. The first confession was their confession of faith. The second confession was their commitment to God. my commitment to God. And in fact, I had a guy ask me here not very long ago. So I see you praying for all these people, and I see some of them, a lot of them are getting healed, but some of them don't get healed. Are you going to quit praying for people? I said, no, it doesn't matter what happens. The Bible is the foundation of God's word is still the same. God heals, whether somebody gets healed or not. I said, I'm not going to quit preaching salvation just because I know sitting in the crowd there was some people I know that are not born again and they didn't receive Jesus. I'm not going to quit preaching salvation. And I went on to say, and I'm not going to quit eating ribeye steak because I saw one in the garbage tin. See, we've got to get to the point that our foundation is so strong that nothing can move us. When we reach that point, we will find that your life will be so fine. And as you believe me and follow me, as you put your roots into the Word of God, you will see that I'll be there at every turn and every corner, and your life will be so sublime. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Now, that ain't in these notes, okay? That the Holy Spirit just give me that. Everybody stand. It's 7:58 right now. Hallelujah. Raise your hands and thank God for your strong foundation. Father, we thank you that our foundation is strong. Nothing will move us. Hallelujah to Jesus. Glory to God. You know, when Paul was going back to Jerusalem, and they kept telling him all these things is going to happen. He said, none of these things move me. When we have our foundation strong in the Word, strong, we'll say, no matter what anybody says, we can say, none of these things move me. Hallelujah. Well, praise God. If you happen to be in this place tonight, you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, or you know what it is to serve Him, but you just need to rededicate your life. You got off course and detoured and got out of the will of God. The ladies are here. Men are over here. If that's you, if you'll come down here and pray with our prayer partners, you won't leave here like you came in Jesus' name. If you need prayer for anything, if you'll come, they'll pray with you and your life will change. Hallelujah. Hey, thank you for being here tonight. We didn't see any visitors and nobody raised their hand, but if you're a first-time guest, we thank you for being with us. And we say, what do we say, church? Welcome home. Come on here and just join up. This is a great home around here. We call ourselves the Rhema family, and we have a great time serving God together. Hey, remember Sunday morning right here. It's going to be a great time. Come believing, come expecting. Turn around and shake hands with somebody and say, hey, I don't know about you, but I'm going to keep my foundation strong. If you need prayer for any reason whatsoever, salvation, Holy Spirit, rededication, anything you need prayer for, come to the front right now. They will minister with you. God bless. Oh, Friday night, come right here for graduation. It's going to be a great time. All right. I know that because I've been at every one of them, and they've all been good.